is trying to teach us. And if we're so quick to jump to the story of Gideon, we might lose that. So, as an introduction to this series, we're going to spend a lot of time just laying this foundation. The book of Judges is old. Old is not bad. Old is not bad. Old can be relevant, especially to this generation. A lot of time when things happen and we wonder why they happen, because they don't just happen. There's something that took place before that that we need to go back to get the answers. Because when you study the book of Revelation, all 21 chapters as a whole, you understand the concept. You understand what God is trying to say. There's a cycle there. There's a theme that you see in the book of Judges. And that theme is this: a cycle of disobedience, discipline, repentance, deliverance. And because of that, God appointed judges. So who were the judges? They're not the same term that we use nowadays as a judge that sits in a court. Judges in those days were appointed by God, called by God to hear the voice of God, to assemble the people of God, and to stand against the enemies of God. They were appointed, called by God, to assemble the people of God, and to stand against the enemies of God. They were the civil leaders of the day. They were God-appointed civil leaders. No one comes into a power, into authority, unless God puts him there. They were appointed. They were men with faults. But yet again, they were appointed by God to hear from God, to assemble the people of God so that they can stand against the enemies of God. These were the judges of the day. And Gideon was one of them. Gideon did not start as a judge. He didn't go to judge school. But he was appointed by God. Gideon was just a simple farmer who was oppressed by the enemy of his days, of his time. But yet again, he was chosen by God to hear the voice of God, to assemble the people of God, to defend the people of God against the enemies of God. That was his job. Today, there are many Gideons among us. They might not be what you would call the polished leaders of the day. But yet again, they've been chosen by God to hear the voice of God. What good would it be if you have a leader that cannot hear the voice of God? How would the leader assemble the people of God to defend against the enemies of God? So Judges chapter 6 verse 1 says this: the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. What an encouraging word. The Israelite did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Great word to kick off this series, right? I'm sure you were expecting something amazing. That's going to be, oh my gosh, this is what I've already given to you. It was Jeremiah 24:7. You already got pumped up before we started, and I'm bringing it back to reality. In verse 2, it says this. The Midianites, you can't follow up there, but you got your Bibles. You got to follow from there. It's quite lengthy. So you follow along. And I want you to connect the dots as you follow along. Connect the dots based on what, maybe mind what you are observing in our nation, in our world around us. Connect the dots. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding place for themselves in the mountains, in the caves, in the strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders, that's a funny word. Anybody knows what that word means? Raiders. Good. Man, I felt so smart when I read this and I was reading this to Dawn. She was like, what in the world? What does that mean? And she's much smarter than me. So you are smarter than me. They were bad guys. They were raiders from the Midian, Amaleks. The people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land, destroying the crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents, they were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and when they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. This might be a reflection of what's happening now in our nation. In our world today, filled with violence, rioting, and looting, and you're seeing all of these things happening. You see droves of people showing up like locusts, invading, destroying, and bringing all sense of violence. Where the real cause, the real injustice is being overshadowed by the enemy's agenda. The enemy's agenda is very simple. The Word of God says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So here's what happens. When you hide the truth. Everybody here agrees that this is the truth. When you hide the truth, this is what happens. You eventually forget the reason why you're fighting for. If this is the truth, and you take this and you hide the truth, just like that, before you know it, you have no idea why you're even standing there. You have no idea what you're fighting for. You don't know the cause anymore. We can easily forget the cause because the truth is being hidden by the enemy's agenda. And God is crying out, people, my people, turn your hearts back to me. The enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, to hide the truth, which is found in the Word of God. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So there is a cry in this land. that can, that is overshadowing what you hear in the news, perhaps. There is a righteous cry for God to return and for God to move in a mighty way. God can only move in a mighty way when it starts here. When it starts with you and me. God says, turn your eyes unto me. Look up to me. Look up to Jesus. Don't look down. Don't look around, but look up unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When God starts something, he brings it to completion. God doesn't start a work in you and me, in this church, in our nation, in this city, and then to abandon us. If you ever thought that this is God, I've got news for you. It's not. It's the enemy. The enemy wants to hide the truth that there is no cause. There's no reason why you're doing it. Or pretends there's something else that you might be fighting for that robs you of the real truth. This is what we need to do as Christians. Take that off. Let's see the real truth. Let's see what God is saying. It's time to turn back to the truth which is found in the Word of God. Not in CNN, not in Fox News, not in anything that is around us. But to look back unto the Word of God for God to come and to redeem us from this cycle of destruction. The children of Israel were still in the same way. They were in that cycle of continually being destroyed. And God, the whole time, is saying, turn unto me for redemption. Don't turn to yourself. They were making hiding places in the caves, in the mountains, hiding away so that they can accumulate enough food for themselves. And guess what? When the raiders came in, they went after the places where they were hiding the food to start with and stole everything. They looted everything that they worked so hard for the whole entire year. It was harvest time. They knew when to come. They came. They plundered. They raided everything. Right underneath their noses. They were right there. But they could not do anything about it. You and I, we've been empowered with this truth to be able to do something about it. The very first thing we do is to turn our eyes onto Jesus. Amen. That's where we start. That's where we start. Is to turn our eyes back onto him. Now, if we stop in that story, the story that ends with the Israelite cried out unto the Lord for help. If we stop just right there, we might miss the whole thing that God is trying to teach us. We might even be confused and think that God has abandoned us. That God is silent. God was not silent when the children were suffering. The enemy wants to paint a different picture about our God. That God is absent. God is not present. God is not relevant. God doesn't understand. Friends, when God's children suffer, God is never silent. He's never silent. Never silent. He sent the judges
He sent the prophets to speak the truth.
If you think for once that God is silent when you look around you, maybe you're looking in the wrong places. Maybe you might be looking for God in the wrong places. Maybe the platform that you chose might not be the same platform that God has chosen. Because you see, God can never share the same platform with the enemy. That's one thing he'll never share. He'll never share the same platform with the enemy. If the platform is racism, oppression, the killing of the unborn, rioting, looting, God ain't there. God ain't there. We're looking in the wrong places and we're wondering why God is silent. He's not. He's saying, return unto me. Turn your hearts back unto me. He's never silent. He's calling out for his children to return. Maybe, just maybe, we might need to look for a different platform. I would choose God's platform. Because this will never change. It seems like even that the virus is a thing of the past. Something else came up. After this, there will be something else. But you know what will never change? This. That will never change. So if we need to hold on to something in our lives, in our generation, to break a cycle, we got to hold on to this. Not the agenda of the enemy. Because the agenda of the enemy will change according to culture, according to times, according to generation. God wants us to hold on to his truth that never changes, that transcends time and generation. It will never change. We're reading about a book that was written thousands of years ago, still relevant today. Didn't change. How many of you have read the book of Gideon? I mean, the book of Judges many times before. You know the story of Gideon. Mighty man of valor. But yet again, it's so timeless for today's culture. For today's climate that we're in. When we read about this, the locusts coming in, the raiders coming in, and invading everything that the people have worked so hard for. In the name of justice. But when you stand on God's platform, this is what you hear. And I want you to catch this. Because this is so relevant for our today's culture. If you stand on God's platform, you'll hear those words. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Wow, what a concept. Learn to do good. He didn't say learn to be good, but to do good. Seek justice. Seek justice. The word seek is the same root, same word that you will find in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people would humble themselves and pray and seek
my face, right? Seek means crave. It's not just like I'm looking it up there. It's craving for it. Craving for the truth. That you will not substitute what you hear in the news for the truth. So many of us, if we're not very careful, we might be tempted to put this aside and cling on to something that is not real, to something that might be even fake, that is outside, a false pretense of the truth, the real truth, that can only be found in the Word of God. God is saying, turn your eyes back onto me. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the rights of the widows. Fight for the rights in the Amplified reads like this. Fight for the rights in the courts of justice. Fight for the rights in the courts of justice. Fight for the rights doesn't mean that you remove the courts of justice. You fight for the rights of those that cannot fight for themselves within the courts of justice. Without the courts of justice, you have chaos. But we're supposed to fight for the cause of justice within the courts of justice. Not outside. The moment you take things outside of that, those parameters that God has set aside for us to live by, you leave room for the enemy to come in, to bring something else that you and I, we don't want. Soon after, the children of Israel, they realized that they were standing on the wrong platform. They realized that they were serving other gods. They were serving the enemy. They cried out to God. God was not silent. He responded. He sent out a prophet to speak the truth. See, a lot of time we want to silence the prophet that would speak the truth. But God will always send somebody to tell all of us the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that can be found in the Word of God. So when they cried out to the Lord, verse 7, the Lord sent a prophet to Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from those who oppressed you. I drove all of your enemies out and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. Now listen to this last part. But you have not listened to me. That came from the prophet speaking the truth. Now, people did not like this. Did not like that kind of truth. But God was never silent. God was still speaking. But it was not what they wanted to hear. Now, does that sound a little bit of what we know, what we're observing right now? There is a truth. The truth is always out there. But maybe the people might not want to hear it. They might not want to hear it. So where was Gideon in all of this? We haven't even got to Gideon yet. We haven't even got to Gideon yet. Like I told you, I think we need about 5 hours. I hope everybody's okay with that. Because the book of Judges, I told Don when I was studying for this, I'm not coming home until I'm done with the 21 chapters. And at the end, she actually had to bring me dinner and everything else because I would not leave. Not until I was done.
Because in order to talk about Gideon, you got to see the whole picture. Otherwise, you'll miss it. All you see is the mighty man of God that showed up and came to the rescue, and you say, oh, what a hero. But if you live in the day that Gideon lived, you might say, oh man, he's got some guts. He did something. He spoke the truth. He came out of farming to be a judge. He dealt with the oppression of the people. See, we cannot understand the struggles of our people here in our current society. And I'm saying the people of color. We cannot understand their struggle until we understand the culture, where they come from. You know, we can't just talk about racism as is just a hot topic that is happening right now. Until we understand, until we walk a little bit in their shoes where they might have come from. My first time when I was, well, I didn't even know that I was a victim of racism. I couldn't tell the difference. But all I know is that I was going to a soccer game in England. You would know this, Upton Park, West Ham. And I remember as I'm going there, it's a predominantly white area. And as I'm going there, I got on the train and I'm heading there. And I got out and I'm not wearing collars. I'm very neutral, you know, to my team. I'm going there and the amount of verbal abuse that is being said onto me. Just spoken. And I'm like, I feel so overwhelmed. I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And you just kept going. I went to the soccer game. Guess what? My attitude was like, you know what? I am not going to let that stop me. I'm going to enjoy the game. I did. I didn't even realize until much after that, man, what did I ever do to them? Nothing. I just showed up for a game. I was quiet. I wasn't being very vocal, although I could be in a game. But I was being nice. But I felt like I was being picked on. But yet again, I didn't really see myself as a victim. Until I start seeing what's happening around me, I was like, then I start realizing, yeah, I guess I was. I guess I was. See, to understand Gideon's struggle, we got to understand the culture. We got to understand where they come from. Those people were being oppressed, persecuted by the enemy. Context is important to be able to be relatable to somebody of color. You got to get the right context. You see, when God is saying something to you, and he does speak, right? You've heard God speak to you multiple times in your life. It might not be in an audible voice, but he's speaking. You felt him. But when he's speaking to you individually, he's not just thinking about you all alone. He's speaking to you in relation to Lindsay. He's connecting a dot to Lindsay as he's speaking to you. He's connecting a dot to Gracie, to John. When God speaks, he speaks individually, but he also speaks generationally. He's connecting the dots that you and I, we don't know. Maybe we'll never know. You'll never know why your neighbor is John Smith on your left-hand side. You might never know that. But God connected the dots for you at this day and time to be connected with John Smith. God thinks about things 2-3 generations ahead of you. But God is always speaking. Always speaking.
Now let's go back to verse 1. The Israelite did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Here we discover a nation that refused to submit to God. They have entered a cycle of disobedience and rebellion against God. This was not the first time, by the way. When we pick up that story from chapter 6, that was not the first time that that ever happened. It was a cycle that they entered in that was passed on from generation to generation. See, whenever you see a cycle or a pattern in our lives, in our generation, when you see the destruction of the people around you, you got to stop and ask yourself a question. What and where did it go wrong? Did we miss something? For the Israelite, the answer was found in Judges chapter 2. Starting with verse 7. It says this. And I want you to catch this. This is key. This is key to the whole series that we're gonna go on. Is this. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlive him. Those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. And then in verse 8 it says this. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Joshua died. Verse 10 says this. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. One generation died. The next one came along. Everything that God did in that previous generation died with that generation. What a shame. What a shame if something like that ever happens to this generation. Stop and think about this for a moment. This generation that we're reading about, that everything died, all the knowledge, everything that they've learned, they've watched, they've experienced with God, when Joshua was the leader, died when Joshua died. Think about this for a moment. They walked through the Red Sea. They watched that. They observed that. They've experienced that. God rained down manna from the sky. Bread came down. Bread came down from heaven. God brought out water from a rock. God gave them shoes that would last them for 40 years. Can you imagine for a moment? Wearing the same pair of shoes, the same pair of stinky shoes for 40 years. Now, this would be something that I might not really like because I love shoes. But they wore the same shoes for 40 years and they were not used up. They watched, they observed everything. The miracles, the wonders of God. But all of that died with the generation of Joshua. The miracles that we know about God from His book, they don't have to die with us. They don't have to die with us. We have a sense of responsibility. Especially when we look at the book of Judges right now and we see a mirror that reflects our nation, where we've turned away from God. But we can say, enough is enough. This cycle breaks with me. This generation is going to be changed because of me. We can be the Gideons. We can say, hey, you know what? This is it. It's done and over with. I am not going to pass that on to the next generation. I don't want my kids to deal with that. Do you? When you see 2020, you want it to be gone, right? I read something said, if an alien was trying to come and invade Earth, they see 2020, they pass on, they go on to the next planet. Right? Is that accurate as what I read? I mean, if I was an alien, I'd be doing the same thing. I'll go somewhere else. The generation, the next generation, they don't have to suffer the same thing that we are suffering as in this generation, certainly. And the miracles and the wonders of God, they don't have to die with you and me. Because this is what happened with that generation of Joshua. It died with that generation. I want to show you a picture. Can you bring up that picture for me, please? And that's where we're going to land today. That's where we're going to land. I believe the whole problem in the book of Judges for the children of Israel was pretty much this. Very elementary. But that was the problem. Same problem that we're dealing with now. We're trying to change the nations. But he hasn't started right here. Just like the song that we sang today. Our eyes will not turn unto Jesus. The heart in the 24/7 from the book of Jeremiah was not renewed. Why? Because we are not turning to Jesus. The change must happen right here. How do we break the cycle? By turning our hearts to God. Joel 2:23 says this, and I'm going to press real fast here. Don't tear your clothing in your grief. How do you wear clothes? On the outside, right? I'm wearing holy clothes today. They were telling me, hey, what happened? Is that ripped? You were asking me that. Well, no, it's kind of like layered. Okay. Don't tear your clothing in your grief. This is the culture when something is going wrong, they would tear their clothes, right? On the outside. But on the inside, nothing was changing. They were mourning. They were crying out to God and ripping their clothes, taking ashes and throwing it up in the air and doing all kinds of stuff, all kinds of commotion on the outside for everybody else to see. But the change that needs to happen on the inside was not happening. So God sent a prophet by the name of Joel. And he said, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Isn't that amazing? How God can send a prophet to really tell the truth? Maybe not what they wanted to hear. The people of this day did not want to hear that. Well, I'd rather just tear my clothes on the outside. But God is saying, you know what? Keep your clothes on. Keep your clothes on. What I need is your heart, not your clothes. For he, then he says, return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish. We break the cycle by turning our hearts to God. And here's the promise that he gives when you do that. Jeremiah 24:7.
When you turn your hearts to God, He will give them hearts that recognize Him as Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. The second one is this. How do we break a cycle? By teaching our generation about God. Go back to my picture. Go back to my picture. And address it here. This is a home. This is a home. After it happens here, we need to teach about God in the home. Could it be that maybe we fail to do that? When we see the generation right now doing all the things that we're seeing, could it be that it did not happen here? We did not teach this generation at home. And now we're seeing the result all around us, and we're hoping the change will happen there on the outside. But God is saying, I don't care about the outside. Keep your clothes on. What I need is your heart. Let me put this in perspective, okay? What if I go home, and you parents, you would testify to that. What if I fail to teach my kids about God? Why? What if they don't even see the evidence of God in my own personal life? What if I open up everything that goes through my computer and my kids have a sneak peek of what daddy looks at when nobody else is watching? What if I hide every wonders, every miracle that God has ever done in my personal life? I keep that just for me. I write it in a nice journal and I file that away and I say, okay, I know what God has done for me, but I don't teach my kids about where they come from. What God has done in my life and what God has done in their life when they were under my care. What would happen to his generation? We'll go back to Judges. You'll find the answer. The cycle was never broken because one generation died, the next generation came back up, and it was still the same problem. The cycle was never broken. The Word of God says this, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child, this generation. A child is this generation. Train up a child. Train up this generation in the way it should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That's how you change the next generation. You train this one. You don't allow the enemy to do it for you. We have an obligation to ensure that this generation knows God. Knows God. Not just know God for, let me read a verse a day to keep the devil away. I'm talking about someone who would dig down into the truths of God's word, so that when the enemy comes in and try to hide the truth from them, they would know this ain't truth. This is the real truth. We need to teach our kids to be able to do this. Otherwise, the enemy will come in and let me just hide it away. They don't need to know this. Maybe if they know this, their eyes would be open. Maybe they might think that they are somebody. The enemy wants that. The enemy wants that for my kids. And I'm like, no, this is not going to happen. Because I'm a man of God. And it is my responsibility to train this generation. My kids are under my care. And your kids are under your care. To train them up. So that they will know the real God. Not just the God that they read wonderful stories about Gideon, but they get to know the God of the Gideon in their own personal lives. They know that God is a miracle working God that can work miracle and wonders in their lives. We have a moral obligation to teach our kids
that racism is evil. How else would they know? My kids didn't even know they were different. They were brown until recently. I was like, whoa. Well, you were like that the whole time, buddy. Daddy, how come you're a little bit darker than me? I'm like me. I'm like, well, that's the way God made me. What if we don't teach our kids that we were all created in God's image? What if we don't tell them about Genesis 1:27? How else would they know that we were created in the image of God, in the likeness of Him? There was no gender, there was no color, there was no race, there was not even any ethnic separation. In the image of God. Period. That's the way we train up our kids. It's simple. But yet again, we're like, okay, you know what? There's a little gray here. There's a little. When I read the word, there was no gray. There was no gray. It was black and white. This is exactly what the word of God says. And this is the real truth. But the enemy wants to cover it up and say, maybe there's something else. But there's nothing else to talk about except the real truth in the Word of God. Church, there's a cycle in our generation that needs to be broken so that the next one that comes along, they don't have to pay the price. Would you please stand? I know it's heavy. It's meant to be heavy. It's meant to be heavy. But I believe chains will be broken today. I believe chains will be broken today. I believe there's a cycle in your personal life that's going to be broken today. It might be a cycle of sicknesses, diseases in your life, poverty, racism even, bigotry even. I believe there's going to be a breakthrough. That you're going to leave this place different. You know what? I'm going to make a difference today, my generation. I'm going to make an impact in my generation. I'm going to look up. I don't have any kids. Well, look up somebody who has kids. I got 5 of them. Want to adopt anybody? I mean, you know, I got 5. You got 2. You got 2 of mine. Find somebody that you can pour the truth of God in. Look up for some grandkids. Oh, I don't have any grandkids. Look somebody up. Train this generation. Break the cycle. And change that next generation that's going to come along. When we look at the news, we look at everything around us, what's happening is that we've entered this cycle of rebellion against God. We've shoved God to the side. We don't want to have anything to do with Him. We take Him out of the school. We take Him out of the courts. We take Him out of everywhere. And yet when we fall flat on our face, then we're like, where is God? Where is God in all of this? Why is God silent? God was never silent to start with. He sent Joel. He sent Gideon. He sent me to tell you the real truth. Might be painful to hear, might not even be politically correct, PC. But you know, to be honest with you, I really don't care. It's only the truth that really matters, right? Whatever you might be going through today, I believe God's going to meet you. God's going to speak to you. We're going to sing a song. And I believe that this song will speak to you. I can't really close in prayer, okay? I want the Holy Spirit to lead you right where you are. I believe He can do a better job than I can.
right where you're standing, I believe God's going to minister to your hearts. He can reveal the truth to you directly. Whatever might be going through in your life, whatever Grandpa Joe dealt with in the past, Grandpa Joe got cancer, that doesn't have to come to you. You can break that cycle. You can break that cycle. If there was anger, abuse, and everything else, you don't have to carry this on for yourself. You don't have to carry this burden anymore. Jesus paid the redemptive price for you to be free. Who doesn't want to be free? Praise you, Jesus. You're welcome to stay and worship with us. Feel free if you need to go. You're dismissed. But I want you to hang out if you can, to worship with us this one song.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain. And all sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, but our redemption at heaven's gates. Sing
strongholds in our lives, so that we don't let that linger on into the next generation and the people that are in our lives and that we influence. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word, that you do not hold those things against us, that you want to bring those things, revelation, into our lives, and we receive it and we are open to it. Help us to see those areas this week, and we thank you for it. We thank you for your love and your protection in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are formally dismissed. For those of you that linger just a little bit, and we love you, and we'll see you next week.
got something to prove. 'Cause I have walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes. You refuse forgiveness like it's something to be earned.